We are in a room, a little room. That is what you must keep saying to yourself. And we shall leave the room as soon as we have found the door. And I promised him that if he let me act without disturbing me by shouting and walking up and down, I would discover the trick of the door in less than an hour's time. Then he lay flat on the floor, as one does in a wood, and declared that he would wait until I found the door of the forest, as there was nothing better to do. And he added that from where he was, the view was splendid. The torture was working in spite of all that I had said. Myself, forgetting the forest, I tackled a glass panel and began to finger it in every direction, hunting for the weak point on which to press in order to turn the door in accordance with Eric's system of pivots. This weak point might be a mere speck on the glass, no larger than a pea under which the spring lay hidden. I hunted and hunted. I felt as high as my hands could reach. Eric was about the same height as myself, and I thought that he would not have placed the spring higher than suited his stature. While groping over the successive panels with the greatest care, I endeavored not to lose a minute, for I was feeling more and more overcome with the heat, and we were literally roasting in that blazing forest. I had been working like this for half an hour and had finished three panels when, as ill luck would have it, I turned round on hearing a muttered exclamation from the Viscount. "I am stifling," he said. "All these mirrors are sending out an infernal heat. Do you think you will find that spring soon? If you are much longer about it, we shall be roasted alive." I was not sorry to hear him talk like this. He had not said a word of the forest, and I hoped that my companion's reason would hold out some time longer against the torture. But he added, "What consoles me is that the monster has given Christine until 11 tomorrow evening. If we can't get out of here and go to her assistance, at least we shall be dead before her. Then Eric's mass can serve for all of us." And he gulped down a breath of hot air that nearly made him faint. As I had not the same desperate reasons as Monsieur le Vicomte for accepting death, I returned, after giving him a word of encouragement, to my panel. But I had made the mistake of taking a few steps while speaking, and in the tangle of the elusive forest I was no longer able to find my panel for certain. I had to begin all over again, at random, feeling, fumbling, groping. Now the fever laid hold of me in my turn, for I found nothing, absolutely nothing. In the next room all was silence. We were quite lost in the forest, without an outlet, a compass, a guide, or anything. Oh, I knew what awaited us if nobody came to our aid, or if I did not find the spring. But look as I might, I found nothing but branches, beautiful branches, that stood straight up before me, or spread gracefully over my head. But they gave no shade, and this was natural enough, as we were in an equatorial forest, with the sun right above our heads, an African forest.